Caitlin Jedalina, Ph.D., is an epidemiologist, biostatistician, and mother of two little girls. She writes the Your Local Epidemiologist newsletter on Substack, which boasts over a 250,000 subscribers. Those familiar with her content know that while well-intending, she serves as a mouthpiece for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, explaining in easy-to-follow language what the experts are saying. Her followers are passionate about her work. This is evident from the preponderance of comments which paint her as a true hero of the pandemic. Notably, she only allows comments from paid subscribers. She has created a massive echo chamber and one that pays her some serious dividends. If I remember correctly, she has well over 10,000 paying subscribers, earning her an income that far exceeds mine as a full-time anesthesiologist. I don't mean to imply that she is a shill who exploits her audience by creating content that she knows is misleading or false. She believes in what she is doing, but she is suffering from the same cognitive blocks that many did 4 years ago. The experts know the most, we need to listen to them and grant them leniency when they get things wrong. I have been a paid subscriber to her newsletter for almost 2 years. I pay to leave comments, hoping to encourage her audience to regard her position with a more critical eye. I have occasionally made some arguments that received a great deal of support from her non-paying readers. Those who contribute materially to her Substack, on the other hand, usually respond with rebuke. She has often derided the work of Children's Health Defense. A year ago, I outed myself in her comment section, informing her that I was involved with the content Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s organization produces as the science editor for The Defender. I expected that she would respond to my questions and critiques. What an excellent opportunity to dismantle the biggest misinformation spreader in front of her large audience. She never did. Not surprisingly, her camp is in full crisis mode now. Here's her latest. In this brief article, she encourages her audience to be strong, citing the following strategies. Building bridges instead of manning the barricades by finding common ground, which requires active engagement and humility. It always helps me focus on one fact: no one wants to die. Then I move from there. Recognizing what you say matters. That is, if you want people to hear you. Through literally the words we use, the framing and the approach. Communicate with empathy, as anger and shame will only drive people further away. Listening, not simply hearing, so we can respond better to the needs on the ground. Americans need their questions answered, not to be told what to believe. Making strategic choices about which battles to fight, at what time and at what level of government. Political capital is as scarce as financial resources, and needs to be allocated carefully. This is a sensible strategy for everyone on both sides of the public health/vaccine debate. However, she continues to double down on her basic hypothesis: the rise of vaccine skepticism is the direct result of misinformation. I think she is wrong. Vaccine hesitancy and distrust of the medical orthodoxy is the direct result of true information that has finally percolated into public discourse, despite the greatest effort to censor dissent I have ever witnessed. Here is the comment I left on her article. Please don't panic, folks. We are witnessing a shift towards transparency and rigor from our agencies of public health. I understand why this readership is freaking out. This is an echo chamber. The real voices of clarity do not pay for a subscription here, so you haven't heard from them, and you don't seek them out. You are only listening to voices like Caitlin's who echo CDC PSAs and their data as if it cannot be questioned. I am a physician and an engineer. I left my practice in 2021 to work for RFK Jr.'s Children's Health Defense as the senior science editor for The Defender, CHD's online publication. I have since left, but I still stand behind every single article I have written and edited for that organization. I have been leaving comments on this Substack for 2 years. Caitlin has never responded to any of my questions and critiques. Isn't that odd? One would think that she would be able to dismantle everything I share here in this public forum for the greater good. Let me explain why there is such a growing anti-vax movement championed by Bobby and highly published physicians like Joe Lodapo. It has very little to do with so-called misinformation spreaders. It has to do with the public finally being informed about some difficult truths. The public is a lot smarter than you think. 1. A vaccine manufacturers cannot be sued if their products are found, even in an isolated case, to have caused harm. There is no other product like that. Obviously, there is much less incentive to do the proper safety testing if there are no consequences. The public knows this. 2. Nobody can deny that there has been an explosion of childhood diseases concomitant with the expansion of the CDC's childhood immunization schedule following the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. Of course, correlation doesn't equal causation. But if there was some causation, this is exactly what we would be seeing. The public knows this. 3. The CDC could easily dispel all suspicion by doing a large retrospective study examining the health of vaccinated and unvaccinated children with regard to chronic disease rates. They have the data. They have not done the study and they refuse to release the data. Why? There is no reasonable answer to this question except for the obvious: they don't want to know the answer. The public knows this too. 4. During the COVID pandemic, the mRNA shots were authorized after an initial observational period of only 6 weeks on average. Note that the median observational period was 2 months. Mathematically, that means that half of the 40,000 participants were observed for less than 4 weeks at most. There is no way to make any claim about long-term safety, yet the CDC simply states that these shots have been rigorously tested for safety. That is a lie. The public knows this now. 5. I have never met a single person, scientist or otherwise, who has read RFK Jr.'s The Real Anthony Fauci, who could debunk any of his claims. That book was released at the height of the pandemic and excoriates the record of the pandemic czar, yet no defamation lawsuit was ever filed. Why is that? Obviously, it is because everything is true and the receipts are there for all to see. The last thing the CDC and vaccine manufacturers want would be to have the evidence for Kennedy's claims appear in open court. Their strategy is to keep the evidence out of the public's eye. It is an extremely effective strategy that has worked for decades. 6. RFK Jr.'s message is finally getting out, and he is making sense. Why on earth would anyone be against having vaccines tested by the same standards we use for medicines? Instead of pointing out the obvious, that is an excellent idea for public health, the media runs hit piece after hit piece on this man. For every person who reads those character attacks and smiles a knowing smile, there are two more that see this as a desperate attempt to squelch some difficult truths. 7. Every other commercial on legacy media is for some sort of pharmaceutical product. It's a joke. These companies don't pay hundreds of millions of dollars to run ads to sell more product. They are buying good media coverage. People are seeing this too. 8. The idea that the pharmaceutical industry is out to improve public health is ridiculous. These are for-profit companies, and their executives' first priority is to the shareholders. They don't make the most money curing diseases. That eliminates demand for their product. They aren't trying to kill everybody. That also decreases demand. Whether you are willing to consider it or not, the most profit is made when the public suffers from a chronic disease epidemic. That is what we have. Our COVID mortality rates were among the highest of any country despite access to the shots and our overpriced healthcare system. This is staring us right in the face. I have no animosity towards those who disagree with me. I am just calling it as I see it. This is the way the public is starting to see it too. Every effort to discredit the movement towards a healthy America with pejoratives like anti-science and anti-vax is going to backfire more and more. The public is waking up. Relax and give people like Kennedy and Ladapo a chance. Let's see what happens. We all want our kids to grow up healthy and happy. Madhava Sethi, M.D. Originally published on Madhava Sethi, M.D.'s An Insult to Intuition Substack.